Hello, friends. Welcome back. My name's Octavia, and this is my astrology podcast. Thanks so much for being here with me today. I am recording this just as Mercury has moved into the sign of Cancer and Mars has moved into the sign of Taurus. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about the influences and the medicine available to us leading up to this full moon in Capricorn on July 13th. So I'm excited to speak more to these influences as well, that of Mercury having moved into the sign of Cancer almost at the same time as Mars has moved into Taurus, both in the signs of their detriment. So the signs in which they don't function in a conventional sense, in the way that is expected of them. And I wanted to talk a bit about some of the themes that I have introduced in the last two episodes. And if you haven't heard them, it's okay. I'll do a little recap here. But I had touched on this idea, because Venus has been traveling through Gemini, of what is on the surface, right, of our experience, of our interactions, and how we can have this surface level understanding of what we are negotiating, moving through, experiencing on one level, and then the substance that lies beneath the surface. There's this quality that we can tune into in this moment, I think, particularly with Mars going into Taurus, where, and Mercury and Cancer for that matter, of like, what actually feels good for me now? Like, what do I need now that feels good? And do these things that I'm doing out of habit, that I'm keeping in my life and reintroducing and maintaining as a habit, is this actually still serving me? So this is what I've been speaking about in the last couple of episodes. And I wanted to further elaborate on this idea, this line of inquiry, particularly with what we have coming up. And the last time Mars was in Taurus was when the January 6th attack on the Capitol occurred. There's just, because, you know, the U.S. is founded upon rebellion. It's a bunch of, you know, dudes who decided they didn't want to answer to a king. And so, you know, they went out and they colonized this land and stole it from the Native Americans and called it theirs so that they didn't have to answer to anyone. Now, you know, the history, we have to be a bit reverential here to our ancestry. So I just, in this episode, want to make the distinction between rebellion being different than liberation. Because liberation is sovereignty in its own right. And rebellion implies other. It implies working against. So these are worth reflecting on and considering. What am I seeking? Are my acts of rebellion, what are they serving at this point, in this moment? And believe me, I am all for rebellion. So the ways that we define ourselves, whether it be rebel or, you know, astrologer, teacher, plumber, politician, whatever it may be, and it's very, you know, Pluto in Capricorn mandates that we choose one, and it becomes who we are. whether we want it to or not, we must fit within this description. And during our personal evolution, revolution, professional, whatever it may be, we do have an opportunity to be more than that, to explore beyond the bounds of what we are in polite society. And this is the form of rebellion that I really savor and love to indulge in. It's like, how much can I get away with? You know, and I have Jupiter in Capricorn and Neptune, so I really appreciate adhering to certain rules. And this is one of my internal polarities. I really like ticking the boxes and doing things on time and the right way. But I also really inherently love to break the rules. So, but all of these can live within me, this tension, and I can channel it into something. I can transmute this conflict, this tension, this polarity. And I love my polarities. I've learned to live with them. It's taken some time. But our polarities are where our genius lives. If we are willing to fully inhabit them and share them, then we can offer a great service to everyone else, because we all have these things within us that drive us and pull us in different directions, which I've also spoken to in recent episodes. This is the Chariot card in the tarot. Mars in Taurus, we can slow down before we act and feel into something different. We can rebel against our own selves. We can rebel against our own rules. One of my favorite things to do is to create my own rules and then break them. And we can keep doing this over and over, right? And it's of no consequence. It won't cause harm. And in this process, we can show up more authentically, because we will have tapped into this connection to self. There are so many ways to run from, react against, and avoid who we are. This is encouraged. This is our conditioning, to not look at who we are. Because if we did that, then we might understand how powerful we are. And no one wants that. None of the authorities do. So, in essence, the most rebellious thing we can do is to be true to who we are and to fuck around with it. Because we just get this one shot at being this one. And life is too short not to fuck around with who we are. I mean, security is great. It's good to have, you know, things in place. But it's also good to shake things up. And this is what we are going to experience, whether we want to or not, in the coming weeks, and especially as the month of August rolls around. So as we approach the conjunction of Mars, Uranus, and the North Node in Taurus, what are you ready to shake up within you? I mean, And you'll know if you're listening to this, and you already know what that quality is. You know what the thing is in you, in your life, that is ready to be unbound. And why not? Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it is such a fertile place to arrive at. Take a risk. And surprise yourself. And have a crisis, you know, come out the other side and share it. Because we all need that right now. You know, when I moved to Australia initially, the Uranian influence that I want to talk about in this episode is one that has really been in the forefront of my mind lately, and that I've had my own personal evolution with, and that I also see very clearly in family, friends, clients, and cultural phenomena. This archetype of the rebel, the counterculture, the subverting of the norm, which I feel that I have experienced and really run the spectrum of what rebellion can be. I have Uranus conjoins my sun and Mercury. So this is a very strong influence that lives in me and in who I am and how I think and speak. But when I moved to Australia, I found myself in a place where suddenly I didn't feel the need to rebel against what was happening around me and by the systems in place there. I was actually quite aligned with things in Australia when I arrived there, and I felt very, at home instantly. I felt relieved. I felt like there were parts of myself fundamentally that I could finally just let relax that had been seeking that for a long time. And this was very quickly followed by a bit of an existential crisis of asking myself, well, if I'm not rebelling or reacting against something, then who am I? And this really plagued me for the initial chapter of my arrival in Australia. And I asked some other friends at the time and people that I was in close connection with, if they had traveled overseas over the years, and asked them if they had had a similar sort of, conundrum when they arrived elsewhere, and they hadn't really. So I came to understand that this was a very strong part of myself, an overdeveloped sense of identity that I had around being a rebel that I thought was at essence in the form it had taken up to that point. I thought that that was who I was. And sure, we all, to a certain degree, growing up, teenage years, in our 20s, we go through this initiation, this rite of passage into adulthood where, you know, it's like we look around, it's like, I'm not like you guys, mom and dad, I'm not like you old fogies, I'm my own person, you know, and of course that's normal. And we all have that to a certain degree, but it is so strong here in the US, and I'm so incredibly grateful for being stopped in my tracks with this influence that is a part of who I am, when I landed in Australia, because I really had to strip back the way that I understood this function within me. And it still lives within me. It hasn't left. But I've learned to use it differently and to come back to the source, because what I had to look at was, okay, if I've been reacting against something for this long, then what is the source? Who is the one who is reacting? Because the problem with this reactionary way of living, not the problem, but the shortcoming, is that the emphasis is on the opposite. It's this polarity. The emphasis is on the other, not on the self. And again, this language that Ari Felix used, it has to begin with being in right relation to the self, this reparative conduct, this way in which we can move with the changes that are happening and to build something better that perhaps we haven't even seen before, but that we feel to be true, that we know to be true, that we can see without seeing and know without knowing. And through this process of asking myself, what the fuck am I rebelling against? And who is the rebel? I had to reduce down these questions to myself. And I had to connect with a part of myself that I had not yet known and greeted myself for the first time. So we all have these evolutions in life, these moments where we greet ourselves differently in a different way than we have before. And this is a moment where hanging on to control, hanging on to whatever perpetuates polarity in you, will just continue to do that. It will perpetuate polarity in you, because this is how identity works. You know, in India, children are, before they are put in school, they are taught that on an elemental level, humans, human beings and animals and plants and rocks and earth and planets and comets and asteroids and everything in between are all made of the same matter. So these children are taught fundamentally straight away before they are given concepts to separate everything, that there is a fundamental elemental unity that binds all of us with this planet, with those planets, with each other, and with all life here on Earth. So if we can come back to this unification, this quality in us that can remember what these children in India are taught very early, while they're still open and receptive, this is Mars and Taurus, while they can still feel into the experience of connection with all that is, we can come back to this place of, again, this transmuting and this spaciousness that can be found within polarity. This place in between what these kids in India are taught. This is very Mercury in Cancer. It's a bit radical. It's a bit unconventional to say, okay, this is what connects everything to everything, before doing the other constructs and introducing them as teachings. But the whole point of that is so that once those kids integrate those constructs of separation, it becomes much more challenging for them to justify causing harm to each other, to plants, animals, because they look at those other life forms, they look at their classmates, their friends, and say, wait a second, we're made out of the same stuff, so if I'm hurting you, it's basically the same as hurting me. And you know, this is kind of where the term, the Sanskrit term namaste, comes from. It's very overused and not really, you know, it's sort of lost its substance a bit, but this is where it comes from. It's like, well, what is within me honors what is within you, and that is life and matter and spirit. It is more than just the stuff that we are made of, but yes, it is that too. Because ultimately, we have to re-examine what kind of reality we're creating through appearances, through what's on the surface, through our title, through our duties, responsibilities, connections, expectations. And these are not put upon us, to be sure. We have created them by taking on these identities and then choosing to show up in them. Sometimes an act of rebellion can be so small, it can be imperceptible to others. A few years back, I remember, I mean, this is a bit more obvious, but I just decided one day that I wasn't going to wear black hoodies anymore. Because I noticed that when I wore a black hoodie, I received a very different response from the world, from other individuals, from interactions, especially at night. And I just stopped wearing them one day. I mean, they were my mainstay. I used to have at least 5 black hoodies in rotation, but that choice was a huge act of rebellion within me to resign, to retire my black hoodies. Retire is the right word, because I really cherish those chapters wherein they were what I wore, and I wouldn't trade any of it. So sometimes it can be that simple. It can be something that's just yours, that you don't have to share with anyone. A choice that you get to make within yourself, within your body, that no one else gets to decide or have a say. That's liberation. And that's the difference. All right, that's going to do it for this one. All the best to you and all your explorations for the month of July and finding your own sense of liberation and rebellion within these influences. And until next time, stay safe, well, and wise.